Blog Talk Radio.
The True Israelites, with your host, the Seer of Seed Royal.
To the four corners of the globe, praise his righteous and powerful name. Hallelujah.
Live, Yahweh.
Talk Radio. Worldwide international radio broadcast is now on the air. Yahuwah's Radio, Yahuwah's Ministry. I be your host by name, your seer, Israel, O.C. Royal. We're doing a series called Unlocking the Biblical Mystery, Deep Dark Sands of the Bible, tape number 26. And we'll go straight and find our elder and bring him in, Elder Mr. Tibbs, and he'll tell you all about the broadcast. Remember one thing? It's a celebration coming up. You know, they asked, I was asked today, do you celebrate December 25th? I said, yes. Yes, I celebrate December 25th. Oh, well, you just like us. I said, oh, really? I celebrate the original December 25th that was ordained in 146 B.C. Because in 146 B.C., it was a whooping, a great slaughter in 5 verse 3 of Maccabees, 5 verse 3 of the children of Judah, the Israelites, whooping Esau and his 5 sons, along with his helpers, Moab and Ammon, according to 1 Maccabees chapter 5, verse 3. And they said, we're going to have us an 8-day celebration on whooping Esau and his 5 sons, and Moab and Ammon, Japanese and Chinese. So when they got a hold of your records in the book of Obadiah, and they diligently search about what have you accomplished, and they ran into a day called December 25th. This is the day that we got whooped and everybody got whooped, so we will have to figure out a way to deal with this because they got it on it, December 25th, called a day of dedication for the children of Israel for 8 days. So we don't have to switch that around. The first thing we got to do, we got to cause a problem. But the problem is we got to get them into a debate. See, if you do not have the 14 books that was taken out, which was taken out by the Catholic Church in 1885, meaning that when you go and read the 10th chapter of St. John and read verse 22 and 23, it said that the Son came to a dedication. So, and you don't have nothing to work with on that dedication, you leave room for them to have tongue in cheek with you. Sure, he came to a dedication on December 25th. But you can say the dedication was to get a Christmas card or a birthday card because you've got books that's missing and you don't have a foundation. But if you got the foundation, you said, no, this dedication he coming to was a slaughter by the children of Judah, the Israelites. They whooped Esau and his 5 sons, translated as the white man and the white woman, along with Moab and Ammon, translated as Chinese and Japanese. So, that's why it's so important to have the books that's missing for you. Say, no, this dedication, he coming to for 70 miles away, and he coming to eat turkey, dressing, and they got what's that topping again called? Cranberry sauce. Yeah, now, that's what he came to eat and drink some wine. Turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, and wine. Because it was an 8-day feast. So now you're supposed to celebrate your turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce and wine. But you celebrating the whooping of making Esau along with his helper, the turkey. You stuff them as the stuffing. And you seen their blood run all down every direction. So that was Yahuwah the Son was coming to celebrate for 8 days. So that's why it's so important to listen to voices of the true Israelites and get in where you fit in at, because we can connect the dedication with the original date of the dedication in the fourth chapter of Maccabees, chapter 4, verse 46, all the way down to about 61. It was a dedication, 8 days. When did it start? 146 B.C. What was the dedication all about? Whooping Esau and his five sons. Yes, we celebrate December 25th. And going to celebrate it in grand style. We're going to eat turkey, dressing. We're going to have cranberry sauce. We're going to have a lot of wine. And we're going to run back and talk about the list we got in. So that is the true meaning of December 25th. We do celebrate it and can't wait until it happens. See? Good. All right. I had to get a little commentary in because, you know, because I was asked today, is you going to celebrate December 25th? Yes! And going to love doing it. But I'm going to celebrate the original December 25th. Whooping Esau and his five sons. Translated today as the white man and the white woman. We got a good flow in according to 1 Maccabees 5 verse 3. That was a great slaughter. And I'm going to love every minute of it. Probably talk about it a little bit tonight. Never know. Fear, we ought to cut you off right now. Well, if you cut me off right now, what can I say? You done it last week. So if you cut me off again, young line ready to take over the broadcast. The box tail been lit. The curtain air went up. Just don't get too happy. Watch me don't get too happy. Well, let's bring our elder in before you got a conversation. I don't feel like entertaining your conversation right now. I want to entertain while we on this broadcast 6 nights a week of Voices of the True Israelites. And remember one thing, the Foxtail been lit and the curtain L went up. So, let's see if we find our elder and bring our elder in, Mr. Tilson. He'll tell you all about this broadcast, and we'll see which way it goes. Huh? Got it? Good. Elder, Mr. Tills. Yahuwah BJFC, right?
And Yahuwah bless you, see it as well. See you well. Hallelujah. Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah, Elder. Well, you know I get happy, Elder. It's easy to get the old seer happy. When we read the Bible, it's easy to get happy because we know that the six anointed camp know that we've been duped on every side, but we is straightening it out as we speak now on the proper meaning of the original December 25th. We're going to celebrate it, and we're going to be happy. Eat some turkey dressing and cranberry sauce. So your mothers make sure you put a little red pepper in that dressing for the old seer and sit to the side because that's the way he like it. Got it? Good. All right, Elder. You can go and address this. I've got my little folly in now, so you can go and address this national audience. I'm going to wrap back and get me a hot cup of herbal tea here on the clock. Come on.
Once again, Yahuwah bless you, Seer Israel, and thank you for bringing me into the nice broadcast of a cast of hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah. And that's a good thing, because you touched on a couple of points that was very important, and I think the listening members should have grasped a great understanding. And one was about December 25th. I got to speak on that. the point that you brought out, they should take notes on it. Because they are celebrating a day that, I guess, through association rather than proper understanding. Like you mentioned yesterday, in the projects, Santa Claus comes down the chimney. Well, something people hadn't thought about, when Santa Claus was able to fit down that chimney, if there was a such thing, and carrying that bag of toys with him, that chimney goes straight down to the incinerator. So if every trash dump on each floor is an opening to throw your trash to go to the incinerator, well, look like you're coming down the chimney straight to the fire. That's one thing to laugh about. And then to touch on the Catholic Bible. Now, we have 66 books in our Bible, as most members know, unless we have a book with the Apocrypha. It has 80 books. Now, the very same people that hacked the 16 books out of the King James Version, they still have most of those books in their Bible, the Catholics. They certainly do. They have that because their priests are taught the other books that the regular pastors are not taught. Sometimes they're sent abroad to learn those books and in the particular land that they have been taught in. So when they come back here, yes, they do. They have more of a biblical understanding than the average preacher. I explained earlier today, you can look at the most lowly monk in the Catholic Church, and his job is sweeping the floor. Now, when he comes over here in his brown uniform and everything and speak to the average preacher, you would almost expect the preacher to be bowing down to him because of his biblical knowledge. But when he goes back to his ministry, his job is sweeping the floor. So you have to be aware of the things that you're taught on this program. You know, we're blessed for bringing it to you the way that we do. In Hebrews chapter 6, verse 10, it says that Yahweh is not unrighteous to forget your work and labor of love, which you have shown toward his name, that you have ministered to the saints and do minister. And that's what we do on a continuing basis, unless we run into people that want to give us conversation before we even finish saying what we have to say. And that's why they're told in the book of Sirach, chapter 11, verse 8, answer not before you've heard the cause, neither interrupt men in the midst of their talk. Because we have one counselor over 1,000. We just got through saying how many people are on this program. Over 700,000 people. And Sirach, chapter 6, verse 6, tells us what that means. 6 says, be at peace with many, but nevertheless have one counselor over 1,000. In verse 35, it says, be willing to hear every Yahwali discord, and let not the parables of understanding escape thee. Because we take our time to make sure that this word is understood properly. Because we know by experience there's a history of the world past and the world present. And our history starts from our birth to our death. Now, those who fail to learn that history are soon to repeat it, which we often see. But those that don't learn it correctly, they're going to simply be doomed in this world or the world to come. And that's what we try to stay out of, that promise of the fire. We don't need that. We need the promise of that narrow gate that everybody should walk through to get to righteousness, mentioned in 2 Esther chapter 7, verse 7 and 8. So we know we all came to hear these things that most of us can hear. And we realize that some listening maybe never understand, but Yahweh's ministry reaches out to make this misunderstanding very possible. We have to be aware by knowing the scriptures and the Bible precepts, we are given the knowledge to know there are those out there that camouflage their evil or confused teaching and overly loud bump the gums contest for their righteous learning, and even using the Bible scriptures as verbal weapons against us that know. I've seen a perfect example of that at my work site over the weekend. And I think one of our members may have realized that also. They got experience in meeting one of those non-righteous talking preachers. So we are here to welcome and thank all of you for attending our live broadcast of Yahuwah's Ministry. Remember, we come to you live and open to you always with new and exciting topics from the King James Bible, and first and foremost about Yahuwah's Word, where we've been questioning, how can we get this much out of one book? And many times I've mentioned it comes from connecting the books, your health, foods you should eat and keep in the Sabbath days, and much more comes from this one book. We do this because you have not. This is information you came to seek and have to look no further. You've now found it in the voices of the true Israelites, tribe of God. We're open unto you from 6 p.m. to 9 p.m. And the days are Sunday, Monday, Wednesday, and Thursday, having no class on Tuesday, which is tomorrow, unless we have a high day or a special event. Now, we do have a Sabbath class, and the top part of the Sabbath is Friday. The current time starts at 7:30 to 10:30. When the bottom part of Sabbath comes, it's on Saturday. That's right, the bottom part of the Sabbath is on Saturday. Temple class starts at 12 p.m., and the online class starts at 2 to 5 p.m. until the temple members decide to leave. We also have a website address. To use this on any search engine, enter tribeyada.com. And after click enter, just under this big line, you will see some choices, and one will be tithes and offerings. Click PayPal and follow the instructions. In the other device, you may see menu. But clicking this, you'll still see choices. Still choose the tithes and offerings. And doing so, remember what it tells all of us that reads the book of Psalms, chapter 96, verse 7 and verse number 8. 7 says, give unto the Yahuwah, you kindreds of the people. Give unto the Yahuwah glory and strength. 8, give unto the Yahuwah the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come unto his courts. Now, I always remind everyone that when you're doing this, to remember that Yahuwah loves a cheerful giver. And also, donations to this ministry is greatly appreciated that you give according to the Bible scriptures read in the book of Leviticus, chapter 27, verse 30, and once again read in the book of Hebrews, chapter 7, verse 8, and verse number 9. This is done to keep this ministry bringing you, thus says Yahuwah, alive. Also for building a school, as I said many times before, which is very well needed. A banquet hall, radio station, and land to grow the health foods we continue to speak of on this program. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Also while there, don't forget to check our calendar. The calendar will help keep you, your family, and friends in tune with the Bible feast days. And the upcoming feast days, you can be aware of what they are by checking that calendar. We even have a live program, which you'll find is only available during our broadcast time. Just enter three words, Yahuwah Radio Live. And after you click enter, look for Voices of the True Israelites, Tribe of Yahdah. And just click the red live button as soon as it appears. It'll put you into our live online broadcast. We're also using two email addresses. The first is tribeyada@gmail.com. The other is yadaisrael@gmail.com. These are for writing your written opinions and questions of a biblical subject answer or related topics. Also, we have a few numbers you can call with Yahuwah in mind. The first being our live conference room number, which is 319-527-6065. The other is 224-600-5579. This would be our international number where you can call and leave a message on scriptures that you may have questions on, which can be answered by any one of the 69 attempts of Yahuwah's ministry. But also, in saying that, do not call this number trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Also, you call this number, you can inquire about the 12 programs via the 12 Tribes of Israel on DVD. Just make sure we get the correct name and the correct address, and you will receive it promptly. But on another note, we might ask, please do not contact the seer via email, phone, or text before broadcast or afterwards. As you might imagine, he's pretty busy with the WCC, the New York Station stockholder, Mr. Cigar Man, answering many memos during our program, as most of us have seen. Even now, in addition to that, the Latter-day Saints. So please use the international line of 224-600-5579. And if the question is legit, you will receive a call back unless you call trying to teach. You will only hear a discouraging dial tone. Now, for those members that have missed the beginning of our program, you can always listen to our entire show today at 9:15 p.m., except Fridays. Program time will be repeated after 10:30. Just enter three words, Doc Wild Radio Live. Once again, look for the voices of the Truest Lights, Tribe of Jabba, and choose the program that you're late logging into, or at that point, any previous day that you would like to listen. And during our normal broadcast, we're also simultaneously transmitting on Paltalk. On Paltalk, we'll be listed under ethnic group, African American. Look for Voices of the Trizlites, Tribe of Yada. You'll find this room will hold 50 or more participants. You'll find this is where Yahuwah's Word is also working for your Bible education. Online there to answer those on-the-table topics we discussed will be Elder Nessa Tibbs, along with Seer Israel, writing as Shotgun. During this time, we'll take no comments off topic or any more than two text questions answered at a time. And the broad talk ends before teaching time. Not to worry. Our teaching will continue on Pell Talk. Yahuwah be with you all. But when given the scriptures to speak by the seer, always be quick to hear, slow to speak, so the words of Yahuwah flow smoothly, remembering that we have hundreds of thousands of listeners that came to hear the righteous words of Yahuwah and not that of confusion. So we can start to do that. We'll pass our program over to our seer Israel and say, Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
All right, Dale. Hallelujah, Yahuwah. That was excellent, Dale. Gave me enough time to hear everything you said and get another little key on the side. That's excellent. Yeah, hi, Dale. That's the tip. And that was excellent broadcast that you and the mother dealt with yesterday. Got a lot of questions behind that one, because there's so much information that was laid out on the run, so we just gonna, you know, piggyback on a little thing that was said yesterday and add a little bit more to it. And we don't know yet. We don't know yet, but one thing we do know, see, right, yes, we celebrate December 25th, and I can't wait for December 25th. I don't know what day is on. I can't wait to bite into me some turkey and some dressing and some cranberry sauce. But I know plainly why I'm doing it. I'm doing this on the dedication of whooping Esau and his five sons. What's the shadow? That means getting the lick on the white man and the white woman. That's what it's all about, December 25th, for 8 days. 8 days, then take care of his helpers, Moab and Ammon, Japanese and Chinese. All that's written right there in 1 Maccabees chapter 5, verse 3. All that's right there. I wonder why nobody never brought it up, but the six anointed camps of voices over to Israelite. I've never heard anybody tie that in. Tie in 1 Maccabees 5, 3, along with the dedication, then go back to the book called St. John 10 and look at verse 22-23. I haven't heard it, but if anybody have heard it besides the six anointed camps of, let it be known. And when did you do it? Now, if you come after we don't say it, we can't go with that now. You got to show me that you made the connection prior to take number 25. All right. That's enough said on that. That's enough of my folly for right now. Let's see who's going to be on stage for a nice episode. We got a memo saying, what is saying here? One of the Lions will be a little late coming to the broadcast. Okay. All right. That must be Bud Titus then. He'd be a little late coming to the broadcast. Okay. Well, how about this other Lion then? Let's see this other Lion ready to go called Micaiah. Another one of them up-and-coming teachers out of Camp 1. Let's see, is he coming on stage for the nice episode, take number 26? So when you meet the young lion with a loud voice, you say, young lion, brother Micaiah, Israel, tribe of Yahdah, Judah. Yahweh be you there, see Roy.
Yahweh bless you there, see Israel. Oh, see Roy. Hallelujah, Yahweh.
Hallelujah, Yahweh. Young lion, sound like you ready to go up in rare form, so you ready to go, and that's a great thing. And I like that. And I like that, no doubt about it. Now, who else on it? Oh, Mother Eve. Now, Mother Eve, let me tell you something, see, you know, I look forward to the broadcast, too, because I like getting that microphone, because we know we're making history when we come on this broadcast. We bring out these deep, dark sins. And I love every minute of that. That was Mother E and Mother Z. No doubt about it. Mother E, one of the mothers out of Camp 1. We got another mother's kind of unwell a little bit, Mother D up Israel. But properly, she's getting all the word of Yahweh and blew it together and getting herself prepared to show up real soon at one of the Sabbaths or on the broadcast. So Mother D up Israel, keep getting well. And we'll hold out until we see your face in the place or on the network. Mother D.F. Israel, another one of the mothers out of Camp 1. Mother E., tribe of Yahdah Judah. Yahweh bless you there, C. Roy.
Yahweh bless you, C. Israel. So C. Roy, hallelujah.
Hallelujah, there, Mother E. And Mother E., now you knew you held down in grand style yesterday. You and Mother Z and Elder, y'all saying in grand style. But you know, it's written in James 5:20 is this. When you're able to participate in turning anybody around, whatever fault that we have, Yahweh can blot it out. So that's the game changer, Mother. As long as we're doing Yahweh the way he tells us to do Yahweh, we got a bargaining chip. Because we know we're going to do some kind of sinning anyway, but that bargaining chip, that we help somebody along the way. That's why we tell them just about every broadcast, hold on. Just hold on. Excellent, Mother. Mother E, Mother Z, and Mother Z, at that desk now, sitting there ready to give a commentary. She says, look, see her. Put some on the table first. I don't mind getting that microphone and saying some. I'm on take 26, but put them on the table. We will. All right, young lion, tribe of Yahdah Judah, take number 26, Brother Micaiah, Luke chapter 12, verse 12. What's that say there, young lion? Come on.
The book of Luke chapter 12, verse number 12. For the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same mouth what you are to say.
You know what, I believe that, young lion. So, the elder kicked it off grand style yesterday. It's amazing how we as a people will celebrate a fat white man in a chariot, and he ain't on no road. He in the air. He's flying in the air. He got reindeers, and they flying in the air. And he flying all around, bringing presents in midair. And we'll go for that. You know, they're taking some 14 books out because they can perpetrate a story. But see, now we is unlocking the story. Horses of a two is like it's unlocking the story on every point. And we're going to ride this wheel to it fall off on all this bad teaching that's on the table. So give me another double dose of Luke, chapter 12, verse 12. Give me a double dose there, young lion. Come on.
The book of Luke, chapter 12, verse number 12, where it reads, for the righteous spirit shall teach you in the same mouth what you are to say.
And righteous spirit will teach you. So, one thing we got to be clear that if a statement is written there, young lion, and just kind of bring it out as you see it, because we're going to pull some points out. So I don't know, do you have, if you got the book, let me know. Do you have a book called Who is Esau Edom? It's written by Charles Wiseman, A. Wiseman. Do you have that
yes,
book
sir.
Around? Because there's something in it. Say what now, young man?
Yes, sir. I have it right here.
Okay, good. Just pet it, because we might bring some out of that. I don't know yet. We might bring some out, because, see, Charles A. Wiseman made a profound statement. He said, I'm the descendant of Esau myself. But see, remember, a lot of books was never written for you to ever be in contact with. You know, they kept themselves informed among themselves, and every other nation knew that. See? So we're gonna probably bring something out of that book. Even this broadcast, I don't know. We'll see once we look at something. And we got to go back and take another little glance at this December the 25th. We covered a lot of good grounds on it yesterday, but there's still so much left that was not talked about. And we open up the online. We open up in St. John. Let's see what we want to talk about. I tell you what, we'll bypass St. John there, young line. We want to open up in the book of Maccabees. I want to come back to Maccabees again. I want to look at a verse in 1 Maccabees 4:46. I need that verse on the table. And let's see which way that goes. Maccabees 4:46, what does it say?
Okay. Going over to the book of Maccabees, 1 Maccabees chapter 4, we want to read verse number 46. The book of Maccabees chapter 4, verse 46 reads, "And laid up the stones in the mountain of the temple in a convenient place, until there should come a seer to show what should be done with them."
They knew how to take down, destroy, and everything, but they said, listen, we have to wait till a seer shows up and see if we on the right track. That's what he said. We got to make sure a seer show up to make sure we on the right track. Now, where did he pull that from? Let's back up to 1 Samuel. And see where that come from. Now that, I mean, let's find out where that come from. Look at 1 Samuel 9, verse 27. So why do they know that what to do according to this Bible, but now we don't have a clue on what to do, and we always try to round table things, never following the direction of the Bible. It might sound good, but we never follow the They knew how to. They whooped Esau and his five sons, and Moab and Ammon was their helpers. But they said, listen, now we need to wait till the seer get here to make sure we on track. So they understood that. But where did they get this information from? Let's back up to the 9th chapter, verse 6. Let's look at 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. Let's find out where it's coming from. Where is this information coming from? See, what we do as a people, we never let the Bible guide us on our decision. And that's why we always lose, because we never, oh, that sounds real good, but do the Bible support what you just told me? Oh, no, the Bible don't support it. Well, then I can't go with it. The Bible don't support it, I can't go with it. And that was a statement. Now, I'm all over the place now. But now I'm all over the place now, young lion. Now, in the book of I know you got about two, three things already on the table. But now I'm all over the place for a reason. I don't know why, but it's going to pan out. In 1 Kings, we'll make it 2 Kings. I want the story when Jehoshaphat and the king of southern and northern kings came together. And they had their question was asked, he said, listen, would you go up and help me at Ramon Gilead? He said, yeah, I'll help you, king. He said, we got the same flesh, the same bloodline, I'll help you. He said, but before I help you, let's require of the seer before we go into this battle. See, everybody know how to do, and that's why so many relationships is no count. Your friendship is no count. Because you always try to get around those seer that have the Bible answer, and that's why you're always in trouble all the time. But if you just follow the rules of the Bible, don't try to figure it out. Iron out. Show you what to do. Show you what's written. Then you see what's written. And you can have a better relationship if you let the Bible, or at least be in a position to help others there. You know? It'll help others, but don't let them make the same mistake. He said, listen, you're bringing me a question. Let me go in the Bible and see what we do. Now, if I got any problem with it, I'm going to contact here or the mail and see what the Bible say to make sure I'm telling you the right thing. So now I'm looking for when that conversation is going on there, young lad. Can you help those see out? The seer looking for the conversation when the two kings were doing some crazy talking. What you got to say, young lion?
It's in 1 Kings chapter 22.
Okay. Mother Z said, yeah, he writes here. See, Mother Z, you know, she listened to you real good. And one thing about it, that's a great thing. Now, in 1 Kings, where we going at, young line again? Help those see out again. Say what we going to?
We go to 1 Kings chapter 22, and we can pick it up at verse number 7 if you want to. We can read into it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I want to hear when these two kings came together. So,
okay.
Where did two kings come together? That's what I want to hear. Matter of fact, can you read verse 2? It says verse 2, and then a question going to be asked. Let's take it down to 2, down to verse 7. We got plenty of time. Let's see if we analyze this right here. 1 Kings 22, verse 2 down to verse 7. Let's see if we take a look at that, young lion. Take your time and
come. Hallelujah. Well, all right, we're going to 1 Kings chapter 22. We're going to pick it up at verse 2 down to verse 7. 1 Kings chapter 22, verse 2 reads, and it came to pass in the third year that Jehoshaphat, the king of Yadadzuri, came down to the king of Israel. Verse 3, and the king of Israel said unto his servants, know you that Ramah in Gilead is ours, and we be still, and take it not out of the hand of the king of Syria. Verse 4. And he said unto Jehoshaphat, Will you go with me to battle to Ramah Gilead? And Jehoshaphat said to the king of Israel, I am as you are, my people as your people, my horses as your horses. Verse 5. And Jehoshaphat said unto the king of Israel, inquire, I pray you, at the word of Yahuwah today. Verse 6.
Good. That's good right there. See, that's good enough right there. You know, see, How do all this escape us today? You see what he said? He said, yeah, that sounds good. He said, my bone, bone of your bone, flesh to flesh. He said, it's no problem. But let's inquire unto Yahuwah. Let's find out where Yahuwah is. You know, let's go find it. And only Yahuwah Dagon ever knew at that time and even now, he is the seer. So he said, let's find out, you know, what the seer think about what we're getting ready to do. And see, now you see where they pull it at in 446. See, if you own something and it's Yahuwah, the seer look in the book and say, yeah, that's Yahuwah, what you're talking about. But what it is, you be so disembobulated because you're going to say the same thing that that was said here, and you're going to have them. You and him said the same thing, and then, well, what was that? Let's see what was said here. He's saying, let me see what verse I want. Verse 8, 22 verse 8. Now listen. See, now, what kind of spirit do you have? Especially you six anointed counts. You got a spirit of Israel here? Verse 8, 22:8, verse 8.
The book of 1 Kings, chapter 22, verse number 8, read. And the king of Israel said unto Jehoshaphat, there is yet one man, Micaiah, the son of Imlah, the seer, by whom we may inquire of Yahuwah. But I hate him, for he do not prophesy good concerning me, but evil. And Jehoshaphat said, let not the king say so.
I don't like this guy over here. You see, that's what they do with old seer. I don't like this old guy over here, because he don't never say nothing good. That was WC. He don't never say nothing good about us. Well, I mean, how can I say something good about you if I got to read it first? I mean, if I can read something good about you, I say it. But I haven't came up with nothing to read good about you. That's all I'm saying. I mean, I haven't come up with nothing good to say about you that I can read, so I'm not going to just tell you anything because, and hey, Mother E, in the 28th chapter, verse, Jeremiah, verse 8 and 9, see, this is how I have to look and see how I'm supposed to talk. Hey, Mother E, in Jeremiah, chapter 28, Mother E, it's a verse, think of it, verse 7 down to verse 9. Can you help us out in the 28th chapter, Jeremiah, verse 7 down to verse 9? See, you know, let's see what it says. Jeremiah 28, 7 down to verse 9. What does it say, Mo?
The book of Jeremiah, chapter 28, verses 7 to 9. Verse 7. Nevertheless, hear, look now, this word that I speak in thy ear, and in the ear of all the people. Verse 8, the seers that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kings of war and of evil and of pestilence. Verse 9, the seer which prophesied of peace when the word of the prophet shall come to pass, then shall the seer be known that the Yahuwah has truly sent him.
Mm-hmm. Read verse 8 again, then, Mother. Read verse 8 again, 28 verse 8. Jeremiah, what's it say?
Jeremiah chapter 28, verse 8. The seer that have been before me and before thee of old prophesied both against many countries and against great kingdoms of war and of evil and of pestilence.
Mm-hmm. So all the seers before me, they prophesied based upon war, destruction, and pestilence coming. So that's how he was saying when you know when you sent from Yahweh, that means you're going to follow exactly what they did. You're going to do it. It ain't about continuation. So when we come on the broadcast, we're going to tell you what the Bible's saying. And because we know the timeline is even at the door, mother. In 11 verse 9, can you have those see out in the book of St. John? Something said in St. John 11 verse 9. I know we all over the place, but like I said again, once we get the wheel all straightened out, then you stand back off of this thing, you will see where we're coming from. See, in St. John 11 verse 9, mother, the final statement is made. Yes, ma'am. What it says in St. John 11 verse 9. Can you help those see out? Because he know he owns something, but I don't know what I'm on yet, but we're going to see. What do we know in St. John 11 verse 9?
The book of St. John chapter 11 verse 9. Yahweh the Son answered, are there not 12 hours in the day? If any man walk in the day, he stumble not, because he see the light of the world.
He said, so now he just said that. Now see, by him saying that, mother, I need a little bit more of what's going on. Now, a little bit more. Not there. I want to just back up to 9 verse 4, mother. So now he says only 12 hours in a day. You know, it's only 12 hours a day, that's what he says. Then we back up to 9 verse 4 there, mother. Help those see out in 9 verse 4. I think we might be on something. I'm just trying to follow what we hear in the brain. St. John 9, verse 4, what it said, mother?
St. John chapter 9, verse 4. I must work the works of him that sent me, for it is day. The night cometh when no man can work.
So you see, he said, I got to work the work of him that sent me, because when night comes, can't nobody do nothing. And that's true. So you got the 12 hours to get whipped. So you got 12 to get something going on, because when the night comes, you're not going to be able to do anything. And so now go to the 12th chapter, mother, of St. John, look at verse 35. See, we might as well just twist a couple of heads real quick, mother. Ain't nothing wrong with that. We'll get back on the subject matter. And online, have me the first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 13, verse number 10, have that waiting on. First book of Adam and Eve, 13, verse 10, after mother, take it at 12:35.
St. John, chapter 12, verse 35. Then Yahweh the Son said unto them, yet a little while is the light with you. While you have the light, this darkness comes upon you. But he that walketh in darkness knoweth not whither he goeth.
Yeah, he said. Now he said, walk while you got the light. And whether you know it or not, the light is coming from the six anointed camps of voices of the true Israelite. You know, he's telling y'all to walk while you got this light. So we come to turn the light on every point according to this Bible. So you need to tighten up a little bit and walk when this light come on six nights a week on this channel we on, take number 26. So walk while you got this light. And matter of fact, can you, mother, tell us a little bit more about that light in 8 verse 12? St. John 8:12. Can you tell us a little bit more about this light?
Okay. St. John chapter 8, verse 12. St. John chapter 8, verse 12. Then speak Yahweh the Son again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that follow me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life.
And the man just said, he said, I'm the light. So he said, now if you take yesterday's tape and put it together, you'll see a broader understanding of what he's saying. But we ain't going to go over yesterday, but we have done it already. Mm-hmm. And that's what a 12 that's anointed, both of rehearse the righteous act, you know, and go back over these things, because there's a lot of good points was brought out in yesterday's tape about what we're talking about right now. This is what I call a continuation. Now, so we find out, he says, walk in his light. Okay, good. Now, Mother, back up to Deuteronomy 28, Mother, and think of verse 1. So he talking some good talk. It's a point we're going to bring out shortly. But he telling you how your walk's supposed to be after him in this life. Now, who is he talking to? Who is he telling this to? So remember, the question was asked to me today by some big dignitaries, are you going to celebrate December 25th? And I said, yes. Yes, I'm going to celebrate it. And I'm going to love every minute of it. I'm going to eat some turkey dressing and cranberry sauce and drink me a lot of wine. I'm going to do it all on that day. I'm going to enjoy it, but I'm going to be celebrating the original order of December 25th. I'm going to be celebrating the true meaning of December 25th. That's what I'm going to be doing. And that was the Six Anointed Caps going to be doing, because we know the origin of December the 25th.
Now we are what?
Ordained 146 B.C.
Hallelujah.
It was ordained the Maccabees and the children of Israel. They all agreed. We're going to do this feast 8 days. And there's a celebration called a dedication. And it's a dedication day, same thing Yahuwah the Psalm is keeping, the dedication. I'm on with them, the Japanese and the Chinese. That's what we're going to be celebrating December 25th about. That's the true meaning of December 25th. You say, now, the light tells you these things, but we don't have the light. We all over the place. See? We don't have the light. Now, Mother's going to read Deuteronomy about this light was passed down somewhere, and Deuteronomy 28, verse 1. Hey, Mother E., what it say in Deuteronomy 28, verse 1? What it say?
Deuteronomy chapter 28, verse 1. And it shall come to pass, if thou shalt hearken diligently unto the voice of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, to observe and to do all his commandments, which I command thee this day, that the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah, will set thee on high above all nations of the earth, it set Israel on high.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, give me a little bit more, Mother. Give me a little bit more.
Verse 2. And all these blessings shall come on thee and overtake thee, if thou shalt hearken unto the voice of the Yahuwah, your Yahuwah. Verse 3.
Mm-hmm. That's good. Good. Now go give me, Mother, go give me the 5th chapter. But this was pulled, Mother. This was pulled in the 5th chapter of the book of Matthews in 5:13. This really was pulled. So this was a rehearsal of this. He said, I'm the light of the world. And he says, a nation that he talked about cannot be hid if you put them on a high tower. You know, they'll see you, period. So you're not hid, but in the same token, according to the Bible, you was never hid. But according to now, you hear. How did it happen? How did you hear today, but according to the Bible, you all over the place? He doing one-on-one conversation about the light and says, a city that sit on top of a hill, it cannot be hidden. Mm-hmm. He's talking about somebody. I mean, all this good stuff we're hearing now, why we never heard it nowhere else? Matthew chapter 5, 13 to 3 down to 16 there, mother, come on.
Okay, the book of Matthew chapter 5, verses 13 to 16. Matthew chapter 5, verse 13. You are the salt of the earth. But if the salt has lost its flavor, wherewith shall it be salt? It is therefore good for nothing but to be cast out and to be trodden underfoot of man. Verse 14. You are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden. Verse 15. Neither do man light a candle and put it on a bush, but on a candlestick, and it gives light unto all that are in the house. Verse 16. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and honor you, and honor your Father, which is in heaven.
My, that's big talk. So what is he talking about? What makes you the light of the world? What light he talking about you got to shine before men? See that? What is he talking about, C. Roy? What is he talking about? How you can answer your precept. You don't be coming all around. Just precept your Bible to and let mother just bring it out. Moses said just turn it over to the 6th chapter, verse 23 of Proverbs. See, when you read this Bible, it's not a novel. He's talking to the people. Well, how you supposed to let your light shine? It tells you when you pick up your Bible. 6:23 of Proverbs. What say that, Mother? Hey, Mother E, what it says in Proverbs 6:23? Just going to preach up the Bible and say. 6:23.
The book of Proverbs, chapter 6, verse 23. Proverbs chapter 6, verse 23. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is a light, and reproof of the instruction of the way of life.
Now, do we need to say anything behind it? So he says, let your light shine before man. He's telling the children of Israel, the law. What I got written, apply this, and you do all the shining you want by applying the law. You see what he's saying? You see what he's saying by precepting your Bible. Now, you know, the big dignitary, they writing that very hard now. They writing big time because they're not going to get. That's why I think they packed the nation, the station, just to hear us break down these dark sands. So all Yahweh is telling you, children of Israel, keep the law. Then your light will automatically shine. I am the light. Follow me. So what I did, follow me. That's all the man's saying. So you have to know when you go to that 10th chapter of Brother Micaiah and read verse 10:21, you must know what this means. See, and we know you got my 4-5 markers, but we know you got 5 markers in this side. We clear about that. You ain't turning no pages. You already got your markers in there, like Mother Z. So we ain't worried about you turning no pages. We good. We know you good with your 5 markers. Now, so I'm going to go to St. John, and we look at one verse. And I want to know what this means. In 10:21 of St. John, what do this mean after Brother Micaiah read that one verse? What this mean in 1021?
The book of Matthews. I mean, the book of St. John, chapter 10, verse number 21. St. John, chapter 10, 21, read. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?
See? See, this shows the words that we speak, these ain't the words of the devil. The devil cannot open the eyes of the blind. The devil will continue to have you thinking that on December 5th, it's all about a fat man riding around in midair with some elk winning some reindeer in midair. That would the devil have you today. And you hook, line, and sink on that because you'll be invited to the Christmas party. And in the Christmas party, you bring gifts. That's not the light of Yahweh. This wasn't nothing about no bringing no gifts on December 25th. It wasn't bringing no gifts on that day. So when your light is shining, you know, you just don't care. Well, I don't celebrate December. Well, what you mean you don't celebrate December 25th? Yes, you do. Yes, we do celebrate December 25th. But see, now we'll get so hostile by being half-cocked. And they say, you will celebrate December 25th? And you say, no, I don't celebrate December 25th. Well, wait a minute. What you all puffed up about? Why not? Why you don't celebrate? I celebrate the true meaning of December 25th. Now, you got their attention. Yes, I do celebrate December 25th. Oh, you do? Oh, okay. Well, what things you might meet? Bring you as a gift. No, I don't, not the gift December 25th. I celebrate the December 25th of the dedication that the Almighty, you know, the Son was coming down. And he said, I never understood that verse. What is this they're talking about? Well, you know, you can ask your peoples, the Catholic Church, they're taking it out, you know, but you have a debatable about this word called dedication, because we read in verse 22 and 23, young line. See, and then we stop. They said, well, it's only in the Bible one time, or just verse 22 and 23. Wait, well, is there one time? But see, now they can have a conversation with you, because you is going to be working on their time, so now they got a conversation to give debate on 22 and 23. What does that young line? What do 22 and 23 say?
The book of St. John, chapter 10, verse 22 and verse 23. Verse 22 reads, and it was at Jerusalem, the feast of the dedication, and it was winter. Verse 23, and Yahweh the Son walked in the temple in Solomon's porch.
Yes. So Yahweh the Son walked, he coming from Galilee, which is 70 miles away from Jerusalem, which is a polluted word for Judah. So he coming down to Judah, where the temple was at, not on that 36 acres of granite rock. It was no temple that I was coming on no 36 acres of granite rock. No, he was not coming there. That was a stable for the children of Israel to leave their horses at, because their horses messed up real bad. You've been around horses. When they mess real bad. So they made sure they had a specific place to keep Solomon, David's horses at, on that 36 acres of granite rock. And when it was red for one of them horses, you tell them, go get them, bring them to us, because they mess up big piles of mess. So they had them away on what you call today. But that's another lesson. We're not getting off in that. Now, so just got through reading that he was coming to the dedication.
Mm-hmm.
That's what he's coming. But when the Catholic Church removed the 14 books, it taken out the precept of the dedication. And then you got room for speech because they have removed the precept. See, when you remove the precept out of it, and we never understand that it tells us in 11 verse 3, which I just quote, if your foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? And that's in Psalm 11 verse 3. So if you ain't got a precept with this dedication, that means you leave room for tongue and cheek. Now you got, and that's why we read the verse in 446. Everybody know how to bump the gums, but you're supposed to always recognize who carries the answer, according to the Bible, is the seer. And in the book of Numbers there, young line, we're going and give us a couple of shots here real quick in Numbers chapter 16, verse 28. Let's see what we can read in Numbers 16, verse 28. What do you say there, young lion? Numbers 16, verse 28.
Going over to the book of Numbers, chapter 16. And we're going to pick it up at verse number 28. The book of Numbers, chapter 16, verse 28 reads, and Moses said, hereby you shall know that Yahweh has sent me to do all these works, for I have not done them of my own mind.
And you don't know that Yahweh has sent the voices of the true Israelites to do this work. And you don't know it. And you don't know it. And the world don't know it. That Yahweh has sent the voices of the true Israelites to take care of this business at this time. And you will know it when we unlock the mysteries of the Bible and make it plain. You know, make it plain. Now, swing down to Exodus chapter 24, and we'll look at verse number 4. Well, I'll tell you what, we'll read 1, 2, 3, 4, and 7. Let's read Exodus 24, listen good. See, you will know the order of things before we get to what we got to get to by understanding that they knew how to always do certain things because they had the rules. They didn't have their Bible moved away from them. Then by the time they got it back, they say, no, you Gentiles, African-American, Negro, and color, and Mr. Wilson. That's who you is now. You Mr. Wilson. So when you look for African-American, Negro, and color, and super cool, and Mr. Wilson, you're not going to buy that in the Bible, see? As long as you Mr. Wilson, and African-American, Negro, color, and super cool, you will never be able to compete in the arena with this Bible open because you a bit the unfruitful things. You got to drop Mr. Wilson. You got to drop being African-American, Negro, and color for Yahweh to recognize you on point. So, now, this is the reason why they said what they said. Matter of fact, before we read that, I got to pull a rabbit out the hat there, young lion, because it was why did they know all this stuff that's in the Bible? But nobody never talks about it. I even watch some of these big camps. They never tell you these things here. They never tell you what's written over here in verse. I wonder why. I mean, if you truthful about this right here, let the Bible just tell a story. And First Samuel, now watch. We're going to let the Bible tell the story here. We're going to First Samuel because there was a question on the table, and they wanted answers. And now we can read 9, 6 down to verse 10. Now let's read 9, 6 down to verse 10. Now we come, we are made all the way back to 1 Samuel, because there's a question on the table. See, watch how they act in the Bible. Tell me, do you do this? Let's see what's going on in 1 Samuel 9, verse 6. Let's read down to verse 10 there, young man.
Okay. We're going over to the book of 1 Samuel. We want to read chapter 9, and we want to read verse 6 down to verse number 10. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 6 reads, "And he said unto him, Behold now, there is in this city a man of Yahweh, and he is an honorable man. All that he saith cometh surely to pass. Now let us go there. Preventing he can show us our way that we should go." But that. Then said Saul to his servant, "But behold, if we go, what shall we bring the man? For the bread is spent in our vessels, and there is not a present to bring to the man of Yahweh. What have we?" Verse 8. And the servant answered Saul again and said, "Behold, I have here at hand the fourth part of a shekel of gold that will I give to the man of Yahweh to tell us our way." Verse 9. Before time in Israel, when a man went to inquire of Yahweh, thus he spake, "Come, and let us go to the seer." For he that is now called a prophet was before time called a seer. Verse number 10. Then said Saul to his servant, "Well said, come, let us go." So they went unto the city where the man of Yahweh was.
You see, well said. See, you got to recognize when something is well said. You know, Saul had a servant at that time. His father was a big dignitary at that time. You know, Kitz. He was a big dignitary, so he had servants. So he said, "Listen," and the servant was able to give him some information. And he said, "Well said. Let's go find him. You know, let's go find him." So now when that conversation was going on, look what was going on. Why that conversation was going on? By looking at 9, verse 15. Now, listen. Now, although they were saying, let's go and check this out, but look what was going on in verse 15.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse number 15 reads, 15. "Now, the Yahweh had told Samuel in his ear a day before Saul came, saying."
You see that? And Yahweh has already informed Samuel, the seer, a day ahead of time,
mm-hmm.
before they even come. He already hadn't shown them already. So old Samuel was doing just sitting on the dock of the bay. He was already informed. That's why we can tell you exactly where you at once you open your jibber jabs up according to the pages of the book. But you don't pay the seal no number line. You know? So now, let's see what happened. He said, he told him a day ahead of time. So he's just sitting on the dock of the bay. And we're going to skip down to verse number 18. And what it say? 18 and verse 19. Listen to this conversation. Now remember, the seer was already prepared. Because Yahweh already informed him already a day ahead of time. Right? Now, here come the servant and Saul coming to somebody in verse 18 and 19. Let's see what happened in verse 18 and 19.
Okay. The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 18 and verse 19. Verse 18 reads, "Then Saul drew near to Samuel in the gate and said, Tell me, I pray you, where the seer's house is." Verse 19. and Samuel, the seer, answered Saul and said, I am the seer. Go up before me unto the high place, for you shall eat with me today. And tomorrow I will let you go and will tell you all that is in your mind.
I won't tell you what's all in your mind. That's what he told him. He said, listen, he said, I ain't gonna let you go. I'm gonna tell you what's in your mind. I already know about all that good stuff that's in your mind, because you done rang it. Yaquan already had informed me about you already. Now, verse 27.
The book of 1 Samuel, chapter 9, verse 27. Verse 27 reads, and as they were going down to the end of the city, Samuel said to Saul, did the servant pass on before? And he passed on. But stand you still a while, that I may show you the word of Yahweh.
See, if anybody stand before you, where they gone, where they been, is irrelevant. When you got the anointed oil on you, all you supposed to be able, when you come in contact with those, is meet them where they at, but your response must be the word of Yahweh. See, that's your response. See, we read a verse in St. John 10:21. Can anybody recall what that verse was in St. John 10:21? You know,
Want to go back and read it? He's talking about these are not the words of the devil.
Well, that's great, but I was really talking to the national audience, but we already knew you had it down pat, ran style in the hill. We clear about that. But 10:21 says, the devil is not going to open up your eyes, tell you nothing. Not only that, the devil is going to do something else to you that when you precept the Bible, he's going to do something else to you, young lion. By going to End Time Prophecy. Verse 9 and 10. He says, the devil is not going to open your eyes up. But see, it's all about your imagination, which way you taking it. But why don't you apply this to the Bible? For the Bible will give you the definition, in this case, what devil talking about. See, you gotta let the Bible speak. We're gonna find out what devil is he talking about that is gonna not let you go. I mean, that would not fit you. I'll tell you what, we just go and look at Revelation chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. Now, remember, John is writing end-time prophecy. And that's why we keep telling you about this Bible. This Bible is a load. It's going to be a load. And to get in this arena, you're going to have the right spirit, and you got to go with the flow of the Bible. Revelation 2, 9 and 10. Now, what you say in WCC? Well, can you inform us again about that 10:21? Okay. Back up, young lion. Read 10:21
again. Okay.
St. John 10.
All right.
Read
back to
again,
St. John
21.
Back to St. John chapter 10, verse 21. 21 reads. Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?
He said, open up the eyes of the blind? No. The devil ain't trying to open up the eyes of the blind. Because if we read Avenue 57, we ain't going there. 1 through 9, it tells you about line. He said, listen, I'm going to tap you up on every, from you, and I'm going to get your descendants. He said, this is, and I love what I'm doing, it's trapping you up. So I'm going to take it all the way in on my end. Because he got a covenant with me to deceive you all the way in. And I'm still going to be thrown in the bottom of the lake of fire. But I got to fulfill my covenant. See? So Satan's covenant going to go all the way. And he has spiritual descent. Spiritual. That means how you be spiritual descent of Satan? That means what Satan got on the table, you do it. That would mean about, we ain't come out physically done anything to you. That's another lesson. But you can take on Satan by not applying what Yahuwah, like for example, Yahuwah gave you a name. And he says, it's a good name. It's a blessing name. But you will fight against the blessing name, and you will keep Ben Wilson all the way in. You will still say, I'm Ben Wilson. See? So you will fight against the blessing. And that's when we know the devil's in you. Because once you understand that if you carry the name Ben Wilson, you do not have the protection of Yahuwah because he don't know no Ben Wilson. Man gave you Ben Wilson. It's two names that man have no authority over, and that's the four letters, YHWH, and the name Israel. Because Israel came from above along with YHWH. All the rest of the names, man hand in it. Okay? Man hand is in it. Got it? Good. Now, in St. John chapter 2, verse 9 and 10, listen to this right here. Now, we're coming out of St. John 10:21. They're coming out of St. John 10:21. Could the devil open up your eyes? No. Why should he? If he opened up his eyes, he know, according to Revelation chapter 12, verse 10 to 12, his time even gets shorter. So he ain't no hurry to meet his destiny in the fire. Because he ain't got enough of you there yet to be there with him. Revelation 2, 9 and 10, what it say? Watch this. Read it where you see it. Listen to this.
The book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9 read, I know your works in tribulation and poverty, but you are rich. And I know the blasphemy of them which say they are Jews and are not, but are the synagogue of Satan. Verse 10, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful until death, and I will give you a crown of life.
So you see it? Now, so now they identify the devil they're talking about. The devil gonna cast some of you into jail, into prison. Mm-hmm. Now, what devil do that? See? Now, what devil? See, all you got to say, what devil do that? See? So now, the devil ain't open your eyes, but we just found out the devil going to catch some of you in prison, going to put a record on you. Now, what devil do that? The one that came out of up and away? No, he got descendants spiritually that do that bidding, so you in jail. The devil going to throw you in jail. You say, the devil going to throw you in jail. Now, when you stand before the court system, when you get that sentence, and you know who throw you in jail. See? Call it up. Now, but he told you, read verse 10 again, then we'll skip down to verse 26 to 29. Read 2:10 again. Now listen, 2:10 again. It's 2:10 again.
Okay, we're going over to the book of Revelation, chapter 2, verse number 10. Verse 10 reads, fear none of those things which you shall suffer. Behold, the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that you may be tried, and you shall have tribulation 10 days. Be you faithful unto death, and I will give you a crown of life.
And 26 down to verse 29. And what?
And
what else?
Verse 26.
Verse Oh, hold on, that young lion. Hold on. Hold on. Ophir, he got a point somewhere in here. So he letting you know, the devil going to cast some of you in jail, right? He said, listen, he's going to cast some of you in jail. What he telling you, like, I'm going to tell you, hold on. How do you know you holding on? Verse 26 down to verse 29. Listen good.
Revelation chapter 2, verse 26 reads, and he that overcometh and keepeth my work unto the end, to him will I give power over the nation. Verse 27, and he shall rule them with a rod of iron, as the vessels of a potter shall they be broken to shivers, even as I received of my Father. Verse 28, and I will give him the morning star. 29, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
Which is the children of Israel. Excellent, Moses. So you see, he said, now, listen, if this happened to you, be of good cheer. But he says, because he says something, hey Moses, he says something in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and 10. He says something, Mother. That's why he's trying to tell you, if this happened to you, you know, don't panic. And don't be a shade tree mechanic. Don't panic. Huh? Now, 1 2, verse 9 and 10. Because it's something you need to know why he don't want you to panic. And don't start the guilt and start the blame game when things happen to you that befall you. Then first thing, you want to get in the blame game. But he tell you, don't panic. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, Mother 8. What does it say we can read in verse 9 and 10?
1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 9 and verse 10. Verse 9. But as it is written, eyes have not seen, nor ears heard, neither have entered into the mind of man the things which Yahweh has prepared for them that love him. Verse 10. But Yahweh has revealed them unto us by his spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, yea, the deep things of Yahweh.
Mm-hmm. And if it revealed by his Spirit, and what did his Spirit do once they received that, Mother? In Amos 3, verse 7. And what did his Spirit do? Now, he said it been revealed by his Spirit. Now, what did his Spirit do once he received all that good information? What did he do with it? Amos 3, verse 7.
Okay. The book of Amos. The book of Amos, chapter 3, verse 7. Surely the Yahweh will do nothing, but he revealed his secret unto his servant, the seer.
That's how he operates. So that's how he operates, you know. I mean, if you're going to stay in the Bible, we know exactly. Now, we're seeing why what they did in the Bible, they was pulling from the Bible, and they knew what to do. And if you're in order with Yahweh, he respond to you in order. So that's why they done the way they did what they did. Now, Mother, read me 2 Corinthians 2:11. And young lion, I'll be over there in that. Now, give me that Exodus 24 that you already got a mark on already, 1 through 4. Then skip down to verse 7. So you already had it waiting on over here. So after Mother read this 2 Corinthians 2:11, but we both be clear about this right here. What do you say about it in 2 Corinthians 2:11?
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. That Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device.
Read that again, Mom. Take your time, Mom. Read that real carefully, Mom.
2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11. That Satan should get advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his device.
Yeah, see, we're not ignorant of Satan's devices. We know that Satan is not going to tell us the truth.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to twist everything and not tell us. He'll keep us in the. He's going to keep us in the dark. We're clear about that. But did you notice that everybody in the Bible so far, they always have something to look back to make sure they're making the right decision. So when Judas Maccabees, they whooped Esau and his five sons, the white man and the white woman, real good. But they knew they had to whooping was good, but they had to wait till a seer tell them the next move. They understood that, but we don't understand that today. So now, but all that's been pulled, we're going all the way back to Exodus 24. Look at verse 1 down to verse 4. And verse 7. And listen to the response of the peoples when they understood the order thing. Now, right now, we ask, what's the order thing? We're all over the place. So you know what that spirit is? That's not the right spirit to be prepared for what we got to do. You got to have a Bible spirit on you. Know how to make a Bible decision on whatever the question is. It's the answer in the Bible. Whatever you're going through today on the face of the earth, the Bible has the answer. Now, this was ordained in the 24th chapter, and we want to see the response of the peoples when we look at 24, 1 down in verse 4 and verse 7. What does it say that young line?
The book of Exodus, chapter 24. Verse 1 down to 4 and verse number 7. The book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 1 reads, And he said unto Moses, Come up unto Yahweh, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship you afar off. Verse 2. And Moses alone shall come near.
Not worship. You are false. Now, that word real carefully, young line. What is that word saying? Not worship be. He ain't telling you to worship yourself. He said, what he saying now? Help those see out in that word there, young line. Let me people over there at that 24th chapter and see what's going on. So we heard some in there that don't stand up. Now we going to 24th. Chapter. I want to take a look at that, what he said there. What's that, Mosey? And read that verse again. Back and read that verse again.
The book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse number 1. Verse 1 reads.
Now, we read 1 already. Mm-hmm. Do it that.
Okay. Verse 2. And Moses alone shall come near the Yahweh.
We read that already. We read that already too, that young man. I want to get back to this worship. I want to get back to this word called worship. Where that word at?
Verse number 1.
Okay.
Verse 1 reads.
Mm-hmm.
And he said unto Moses, come up unto Yahweh, you and Aaron, Nadab and Abihu, and 70 of the elders of Israel, and worship you afar off.
Oh, so he's telling Moses, tell them that you y'all worship of Baal. So all the big dignitaries, they only can go so far, and they have to stop. So he's going to make it plain the next move. See, although he got 70 with him, got 70 plus all the higher big dignitaries with him, but he's supposed to tell all them, now y'all have a stopping point. You can't go no farther than that. Y'all can't go no farther than that. Now watch this in verse 2. Now watch this word. Watch this word that he drops right here in verse 2.
The book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse number 2. Verse 2 reads, "And Moses alone shall come near the Yahuwah, but they shall not come near, neither shall the people go up with him."
See that? You see what the man saying? Now, this is the big boss man talking. He said, "Listen, Moses, you tell the big dignitaries and the 70 elders, y'all only can come so far, and that's where y'all got to stop at. So you're not getting no further than that. You alone come a little further. Now, for the peoples, they got to deal with these dignitaries and these 70 elders. But Moses, you alone, come, Moses. You alone." See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in understanding the Bible, that if you love to read Malachi 3, verse 6 and 13, verse 8, but you got a problem with believing that. He don't change his operation. The way he's done it then is he do it now. You just got to recognize the sign of the times. And this is where you gonna, that's where you kick it. And you got to come back all the time. You read Bible, you should not have no comeback. See what the Bible say? That's the end of it. Watch this in verse 3 and 4. Watch this in 3 and 4.
The book of Exodus, chapter 24, verse 3 and verse 4. Verse 3 reads, "And Moses came and told the people all the words of Yahuwah and all the judgment. And all the people answered with one voice and said, all the words which Yahuwah had said, we do. Verse 4. "And Moses wrote all the words of Yahuwah and rose up early in the morning and built an altar under the hill and 12 pillars according to the 12 tribes of Israel."
So this whole conversation for Moses with the Aaron and his concern, every nation up on the planet. Is that what it, do it say that? Mother or young lion? This is about everybody. Is that what it say?
No.
It don't say that?
About the 12 tribes of Israel.
Okay.
It's about the 12 tribes of Israel. See, this is where the problem is going to always come. Book is to the 12 tribes of Israel, for the 12 tribes of Israel. It's about the 12 tribes of Israel. And that's the end of it. What you mean, Latter-day Saints? What about you going to preach up on that too, huh? Come on. See, Jeremiah 30, verse 4. Come on. They don't want a precept. Latter-day Saints want a precept. Okay, we'll give you a precept. Jeremiah 30, verse 4. What does it say? Mother E.
Oh,
and
okay.
Jeremiah 30, verse 4.
Jeremiah chapter 30, verse 4. Book of Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 4 reads. Jeremiah, chapter 30, verse 4. "And these are the words that Yahweh speaks concerning Israel and concerning Yahweh Judah."
That's right. That's it, Mother. I mean, it's self-explanatory. This book is concerning Southern Israel and Northern Israel. That's it.
Right.
And can he make it plain, Mother, in end time prophecy in 3:11 of Revelation? Hey, Mother E, help those see out what it tells us in Revelation 3:11 behind that.
Okay. Book of Revelation, chapter 3, verse 11. Revelation chapter 3, verse 11 reads, Behold, I come quickly, hold that fast with thy hand, that no man take thy crown.
Yeah. So, it's up to you. He said, I come quickly, and don't let no man take your crown. Don't let nobody take your crown. Take yesterday, can't put it together. You understand what you're talking about? Don't let nobody take your crown. Whatever they got to say, prove it with the Bible. Prove it. If you say we not the children of Israel, then who are we? And prove that we not the children of Israel. Then why yet to prove who you are? Put the Bible open. Don't talk. Go to the Bible and show me who you are. And show me that we're not the children of the book, the children of Israel, the Israelites. Then who are we? Who are we? Then while you edit, who are you with the Bible open? With the Bible open, who are you? See? And that's why we're going to probably gonna be able to get into tonight's lesson. But we're going to come back and take one of your books called Who is Esau Edom? By Charles A. We're gonna examine your book at a time appointed. We're not gonna do it tonight, but we tell you now. We're going to examine your book, and we're going to see what did your people say twice. Thank you, FWCC. W-E-I-S-M-A-N. See, one thing about it, we clear that you do know, but you just don't, it's just hard to come to grips that time is at hand, and you knew these things. Somebody had to open the door, and we're going to ride this wheel until the wheel fall out. I'm telling you like it is. You know, a lot can come out of it because you got even my grandbabies taught me some good talk, you know. And they won't know, well, granddaddy, we've been over here, you're talking about these Israelites. But you know, mom always said, but I'm hearing too much now. I got to examine this thing now. See what happens, you know. Mom always say, Granddaddy, Mom always say, I understand, but we understand that. But soon later, it all going to be revealed. Now, where we at? Come on back in your line and give me that verse. We read 24:1 down to verse 4. Now give me verse 7. Now he going to respond. Remember, you heard the response in verse 3. When Moses wait for their response, then he wrote it down. Then they came right back in verse 7, and look what they said to Moses in verse 7. We're in Exodus 24, verse 7. We're talking about the people of the book called the children of Israel, the Israelites. This is what they said to Moses. Verse 7.
The book of Exodus chapter 24, verse number 7. Verse 7 reads, And he took the book of the covenant and read in the audience of the people. And they said, All that Yahweh has said will we do and be obedient.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. Now, what did Yahweh say behind that? See, Yahweh heard and said, to roll it down, they say, all that you say, Moses, we're going to do it and be obedient. Now, what did Yahweh say behind that? Mother E. Then we go on, then we're going back to that Adam and Eve for a minute. That Adam and Eve for a minute. Because we all over the place, but we really not all over the place. We all over the place of those that think of things as one way. It's just like when you ever seen a cat, when he stung a mouse, he hit inside his head where he dizzy. He can't get back to his hole. And the cat can just slow walking down. That's the same way we think about this right here. We just slow walking down. This ain't him. We ain't no hurry. We want to enjoy this meal. You know how sometimes you better have put a good meal on the table. And then and they watch you just enjoy the meal. Well, I enjoy dealing with this right here. I ain't no hurry. All of it going to be revealed, but I ain't no hurry. I want to enjoy this. Everything you have said, we're going to examine what you said and see if we can hold up with the book open. Now, they said, all that Yahweh said, we're going to do. That's what they said, mother. Now, we're going to step that and find out what Yahweh say behind that. In the fifth chapter, verse 1, let's get down to 27, down to verse 29. Let's see what happened by going to Deuteronomy 5, Mother Eve. And look down at who this letter addressed to, according to verse 1. Then let's get down to verse 27, down to verse 29. Come on.
Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1, then 27 to 29. Okay. Deuteronomy chapter 5, verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, Hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ear this day, that you may learn them and keep all and keep and do them. Verse 27. O thou near and hear all that the Yahweh, our Yahweh, shall say, and speak thou unto us all that the Yahweh, our Yahweh, shall speak unto thee, and we will hear it and do it. Verse 28. And the Yahweh hear the voice of your words when you speak unto me. And the Yahweh said unto me, I have heard the voice of the words of this people, which they have spoken unto thee. They have well said all that they have spoken. They have well said all that they have spoken. Verse 29. Oh, that there were such an mind in them, that they would fear me and keep all my commandments always, that it might be well with them and with their children forever.
He said, only it was a mind in them to, I heard him. He said, I hear him now. He said, only it was a mind for them to practice what they preach. They say one thing and they don't do it. So if they just do what's written in this Bible, then I got to pull a rabbit out of that behind that. Young man, let me show you something. If we started just watching things unfold, but look what Yahweh told the middle spirit, get down there and find David. And just tell David this, see? Tell David this. It's not in David's days, because I'm going to let David do some good stuff. But in Psalms 81, Did you know? You notice what we read in verse 5:1 that Mother read? Hear, O Israel. Man, we don't never hear this kind of conversation. Hear, hey, you notice it was nothing on the other side of that or before it. Was no Jew, nothing, none of that. Black Hebrew, none of that. He specifically telling, hear, O Israel. Now watch this right here by going to Psalms 81. Now watch through the tenor even change. See, once you start addressing the Bible the way the Bible is, then Yahweh got some sayings that is written on what he's going to do. And we're going to Psalms 81, verse 8 down to verse 16. Now, this is a great meal. Why don't we rehearse this meal on what we get ready here in Psalms 81, 8 down to verse 16. Listen to what the ministering spirit told David for the peoples of the book today. Verse 8, 81, 8 to 16. Young Lion, Brother Micaiah, come on.
The book of Psalms, chapter 81, verse 8 down to 16. Verse 8 reads, hear, O my people, and I will testify unto you, O Israel, if you will hearken unto me. Verse 9, there shall no strange Yahweh be in you, neither shall you worship any strange Yahweh. Verse 10, I am Yahweh your Yahweh, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it. Verse 11, but my people would not hearken to my voice, and Israel would none of me. Verse 12, so I gave them up unto their own mind, lust, and they walked in their own counsel. Verse 13, oh, that my people had hearkened unto me, and Israel had walked in my way. Verse 14, I should soon have subdued their enemies and turned my hand against their adversary. Verse 15, the haters of Yahweh should have submitted themselves unto him, but their time should have endured forever. Verse 16, he should have fed them also with the finest of the wheat, and with honey out of the rock should I have satisfied you.
I eat Mosey. See that? Now, but look what he says in verse 10. Now, what are you gonna do with verse 10? What are you gonna do with verse 10? Read that verse 10 again. Listen to this verse 10. Look what he says.
Book of Psalms, the Book of Psalms, chapter 81, verse number 10. Verse 10 reads, I am Yahweh, your Yahweh, which brought you out of the land of Egypt. Open your mouth wide, and I will fill it.
Now, we read that. Now, how did that happen? How did it? He just says, I am Yahweh that brought you about the land of Egypt, slavery. What that supposed to mean? Huh? How did he do that? How did he do that? Precept your Bible. How did he do that? Precept your Bible. Listen, precept your Bible is old with it. Yahweh will show you the next hand if that verse come up. I brought you up out of this slavery called Egypt. I did it. Now, how did he do it? And you know Malachi 3:6 says he's the same today, yesterday, forever. Hebrews 13:8. He just yesterday forever. So how did he do that? With a verse. And see, that's why it's so important to come together, you 12, out of every camp. Pick a day, get on there and bump some book. It's gonna pay off because you're gonna activate the return of Yahweh once you see that you understand what he's saying. If I brought you out, how did he do it? If I pull you right now, what would you say? See? What would you say? I'm going to give you an answer again. How he did that. If you don't change, We're going to Hosea, young man. Now I'm gonna give you the answer again. Do you have it in writing? Do you rehearse the righteous act? How did this happen? You go to Hosea, you precept your Bible, and find out exactly how it happened. Hosea chapter 12, verse 13. This is how it happened. He said, I brought you about a slavery, Egypt, a slavery to you. I did it. I am Yahweh. That's what he said, right? You precept your Bible to Hosea chapter 12, verse 13, and get the number one answer. How he do it? Read it.
The book of Hosea. Chapter 12, verse number 13. 13 reads, and by a seer that Yahuwah brought Israel out of Egypt, and by a seer was he preserved.
Should I say it anymore? That's how he did. By how many seers did he do that? How many, according to verse 13?
By a seer. One.
And that's the same way it's going to happen today. See, that's one of the greatest mysteries in understanding the Bible. If you don't change, then exactly how it happened then, and that's why you see all these big camps of their things scourging me, because they ain't going to touch this. You see, I'm the one brought you out of slavery. I'm the one put you in slavery. And the only way you'll come out of slavery and the only one got a ministry is read in verse 10. Let's find who got a ministry. Let's find who got the ministry that we can read. Let's see who got the ministry in verse 10.
The book of Hosea, chapter 12, verse number 10. Verse 10 reads, I have also spoken by the seer and have multiplied visions and use similitudes by the ministry of the seers.
So who got the ministry? See? Who got the ministry with the book open? Yeah, you got WCC, the Latter-day Saint, the Roman Catholic Church. But who got the ministry? Who got the ministry? In verse 10. The only ministry that Yahuwah going to respond to the right way is the ministry of the seer. Put that in verse 10. Now, ain't nobody going to teach none of that, because then you got to come clean. I mean, you got to set all that stuff you got down, and you got to come clean. You got to get it all up under the system. And that's why you ain't going to do it. You're going to take, you'll ride your will in all the way, and we're going to ride ours in all the way, too. But we know how it works. It's going to work exactly. The only one got a ministry on the face of the earth today is what Yahuwah just said. The ministry that he communicated with is the ministry of the seers. That's it. And if you want to know, and that's why we said in 446 exactly, we know our cat out, but let's hold things together until Sid get here and show what we got to do. And all they're going to do, because the Bible looked back at everybody what they did, and tell them exactly what the Bible said to them. That's it. And that's all that we will tell you today. Let's see what the Bible say on what you're talking about. No, I don't have no opinion about anything. I can tell you what the Bible's saying about it. And if you're going to come about this captivity, you got to first obey anointed leadership. If you don't do that, you ain't got nothing coming according to what we just got to read. Now let's go to Adam and Eve. Now we run to Adam and Eve. And now we look at the 13th chapter 10 and 14. Now we were made to Adam and Eve. Now we're in the, see, by no organization picks up the book of Adam and Eve because they can't connect the books, but we can. And that's why it should mesmerize you to understand one thing. If we connecting this thing together with the 6 and the 80, then wait a minute. Why you envy this? Just get in with this, because there ain't no way out. Because all the ministry, according to Hosea, is the ministry of the seers that Yahuwah is going to require to tell you what you got to do. Now, With all that said, we're in the first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 13, verse 10, and watch what he said in verse 14. But what he says in verse 10.
The book of Adam and Eve, first book of Adam and Eve, chapter 13, verse 10 and verse 14. Verse 10 reads, "Thus, O Adam, has this night deceived you? It is not to last forever, but is only of 12 hours. When it is over, daylight will return." Verse 14. "For I made you of the light, and I will to bring out children of light from you, and light unto you."
You the man just said. You been told Adam. See, Adam was kind of moaning and groaning about this darkness that he was in. He said, "Adam, this darkness that you're in is a 12-hour time period, Adam." He says, "But you have to remain in this darkness until the 12-hour period is up. Then what I'm going to do, I'm going to bring," what he said in verse 14? This is what he said in verse 14. Say it again, 14.
14 reads, "For I made you of the light, and I will to bring out children of light from you, and light unto you."
So you see? So he's saying, "I made you of the light." So if you got darkness in your understanding, you don't know what's going on, it's because something you are dead that causes it to happen. But he said, "Adam, I know what you want, but 12 hours got to go past for this to happen, Adam." So now, as time progresses on, with this information, that all the seers had it, but then all of a sudden, you know, by watching the left side of the book, Brother Micaiah, and 2nd Ezra chapter 14, and particularly verse number 8, by watching the timeline, and if you put your other tape together, you can put this, you can kind of go clear this thing if you have that foundation. But this is the more for you to go back and check. So now, he's letting you know that this darkness is only 12 hours. Darkness, then light gonna come. So now, here's a seer. He read that. But now he wanna know something. Let's see what he says in 2 Ezra 14. If you hold all that in your brain, let's see what happened in 2 Ezra chapter 14. Then mother, give me the 20th chapter of Matthew. Just have that waiting on me, mother. We're going to take a look at a few things in Matthew chapter 20. Let's pick up verse 10. And I hope I don't have to say too much. But go 10 and 21. I wonder, can I just find something to do for breaking in on this? We'll see. 10 and 21. Let's see what it says in 2 Ezra chapter 14, verse 10. Let's read a little bit there, young lion. Come on.
2nd Ezra chapter 14, verse number 10 and 21, verse 10 reads, "For the world have lost its youth, and the times begin to wax old." Verse 11, "For the world is divided into 12 parts, and 10 parts of it are gone already, and half of a tenth part." Verse 12, "And there remains that which is after the half of the 10 parts." Verse 13, "Now therefore, set your house in order, and reprove your people. Comfort such of them as be in trouble, and now renounce corruption." Verse 14, "Let go from you mortal thoughts. Cast away the burdens of man. Put off now the weak nature." 15, and set aside the thoughts that are most heavy unto you, and haste you to flee from these times. Verse 16. For yet greater evils than those which you have been happen shall be done hereafter. Verse 17. For look how much the world shall be weaker though through age. So much the more shall evils increase upon them that dwell therein. Verse 18. For the truth is fled far away, and leaping is hard at hand. For now has the vision to come, which you have seen. Verse 19. Then answered I before you and said, verse 20. Behold, Yahuwah, I will go as you have commanded me, and reprove the people which are present. But they that shall be born afterward, who shall admonish them? Thus the world is set in darkness, and they that dwell therein are without light. Verse 21. For your law is burnt. Therefore no man knows the times that are done of you, or the works that are, or the works that shall begin.
Mm-hmm. Read verse again now. Young line.
Which verse?
Read verse 20 again. Verse 20.
Okay, verse 20. Behold, Yahuwah, I will go, and you have commanded me, and reprove the people which are present. But they that shall be born afterward, who shall admonish them? Thus the world is set in darkness, and they that dwell therein are without light.
The world is in what? What is the world in there, young man?
Dark.
He said, what did Adam say? What did Yahuwah let him know that I'm a time he had to be in his darkness? That means he's on this world, see, right? You remember Mother read a verse in 1 Corinthians 2, verse 9 and 10. And, hey, Mother, give me that Isaiah 64, verse 4. Isaiah 64, verse 4, Mother. So,
okay.
64, verse 4 of Isaiah, see, the world lies in darkness. So he lets you know whatever you're doing in this world, you're doing it in darkness. The world lies in darkness, and your first parents, Adam and Eve, they didn't want part of this world. But you is trying to do everything you can to advance this world and keep this world going, because you see something that you see, and then with not having the proper understanding, the world is in darkness. This is what the minister of spirit is telling this guy, the seer. So whatever you're doing in the world, it's darkness, see, right? And Mama read that what he got prepared for you, your eyes and ears ain't got a clue what's going on. But that verse was pulled just like this verse was pulled. In Isaiah 64, verse 4, pull it, Mother, come on.
The book of Isaiah, chapter 64, verse 4. Since the beginning of the world, man have not heard nor received by the ear, neither has the eye seen, O Yahuwah, beside thee, what he has prepared for him that waiteth for him.
You see that man saying? So you, children of the book, the children of the light, you will have the darkness of this world beat you out of the blessing Yahuwah got for you if you don't understand that you got to put Yahuwah first. And he done told you, old man, what is good is keeping him first. You're going to let this world go out and get you a 40-year plaque and a wristwatch of how faithful you were to the world of darkness. That's why I said, you don't get no credit for that. The seer told you, and he brought the foundation letting you know, you ain't got nothing coming here. If you're not rich in Yahweh, you ain't got nothing coming but the fire. Now skip down to verse 11 and 12. Look what he says in 11 and 12. This is a big talk going on. And all one can understand this is another seer to a seer to pass it on to those who got ear to ear. Look what he says in verse 11 and 12. Bring me your mind.
Okay. The book of Second Ezra, chapter 14, verse 11 and verse 12. Verse 11 reads, for the words is divided into 12 parts, and the 10 parts of it are gone already, and half of a tenth part. Verse 12. And there remains that which is afar, the half of the earth, the half of the tenth part.
He says, the seer was told by reading the book of Adam that you only have 12 hours. 12 hours. Ezra was told, Ezra, guess what? Have already been put on the time of 12 or 10 and a half hours is gone already in Ezra days. 10 and a half hours was in Ezra days. It's not going no further. 12 and when the 12 hits, this way you're going to be at, mother, in 91 verse 1. When the 12 hits, this is what you're going to be at, one verse, Psalms 91, verse 1. When the 12 hit, you got to make sure you have the feel of Psalms 91, verse 1. What does it say?
Okay. The book of Psalms, chapter 91, verse 9, read. Oh, 1, read.
Verse 1.
Psalms 91, verse 1. He that dwell in the secret place of the Most High shall abide under the shadow of the Almighty.
See, he that dwells in the secret place don't dwell in the mighty. But what are you trying to tell you? Get down to verse 6 and verse 7. Listen to this. If you only have 12 hours, in Ezra days, 10 and a half hours, so the seal had already been on the world, he told your first father, Adam, you only got 12 hours, then you can return back to where you want to get to. But I got to take care of some business along the way. Other tapes will take care of that. Now, write down 10 and a half hours is gone in Ezra days. We read Psalm 91, verse 1. Now we're skipping down to verse number 6.
Seven.
What it says? Verse 6 and 7.
Psalm 91, verse 6 and 7, verse 6. Nor for the destruction that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth at noonday. Verse 7.
Stop it there. Mother, when going to be the destruction, mother? According to verse 6, when will the destruction be?
When will the destruction be?
Yeah, according to verse 6. Come on, y'all lying.
At noonday.
Destruction's going to be at noonday. So destruction's going to start at noonday. You have but an hour and a half before the 12th of the noonday can kick off, Cyril. You got an hour and a half. The destruction is going to be at noonday. It ain't going further than that for you. So you have to make sure you is in the safety place. And another lesson tell you, he raised up Adam and all the righteous. And they got in there for what reason? Not mother reason, next verse. What's going to be happening at noonday? Verse 7. What's going to be happening at noonday, mother?
Psalm 91, verse 7. 1,000 shall fall at their side, and 10,000 at their right hand, but it shall not come nigh thee.
Why is not going to come near thee? We just read in verse 1, you'll be in the sacred place. You'll be when Adam brings himself and the righteous to the sacred place, and they will be there, and what will be going on at noonday when they're there? Verse 8, mother.
Only with thine eyes shall thou behold and see the reward of the wicked.
Ain't that something? You see what you're going to be saying? You're going to be saying the reward of the wicked. But you have to be verse 1 in the safety place. Because when noon hit, it's going to be time for what again in verse number 8, mother?
Time for the reward of the wicked.
The reward of the wicked. You hit the man in sin. At noon will be the final takedown. You, if you part of the righteous, you will be in the safety place. Mm-hmm. And you will have a round seat leaned against the trees or whatever in the light. And what you're going to be seeing is the reward of the wicked. You're going to see thousands of falling, all type of things going on. You'll be able to see it. See? But it's not going to come near you because you're going to be out of the world of darkness. You're going to be in this marvelous light. Now, before we go to the 20th chapter, back up your line and give me 2nd Ezra 4. Verse 37-39. See, we're trying to give you a little wet your beak, but we're not really wetting your beak. We're dropping a bombshell on you. That's why you have to make a decision. Is you going to continue to drag with this man, or are you going to go headlong and get right? Because what Adam was moaning and groaning about, he wanted no part of the world. Darkness. He want to get back into that marvelous light where he can see the reward of the wicked that's going to be at 12 noon straight up. Now look what he told Ezra. He's still talking to Ezra. He said, Ezra, I ain't through talking to you yet. In the 4th chapter, young line, verse 37-39, this is what he said to, look what he told Ezra. What did he tell Ezra?
Okay. 2nd Ezra chapter 4, verse 37 and verse 39. 2nd Ezra chapter 4, verse 37 reads, by measures hath he measured the times, and by number hath he numbered the times. And he do not move nor stir them until the said measure be fulfilled. Verse 39. And for our sake, preadventure, it is that the floors of the righteous are not filled, because the sins of them that dwell upon the earth.
So he said he's not gonna get off of what he's gonna say. What he's saying is I don't care how much you moan and groan like Adam was doing. He said, I'm not changing what I said on how it's gonna be. All the moaning and groaning we're doing today, it got to run its full course. He told Adam exactly when I'm gonna make my hit. When the clock strikes the 12th hour, I'm going to make my hit. Make sure you have got the people to know one thing. and that power been awoke you up, Adam, and all your righteous descendants, and you take the other tapes, you find out in the 14th chapter where you're going. And all you going back to the place of safety, which is the light. It will happen on the 12th hour. So now, a parable was said in the 20th chapter, their mother. Give me 21 through 5. And Brother Micaiah, pick it up at verse number 6. So now, a parable was said. Now, this parable for the ones that want to be informed is pertaining to everything we've said so far. And here's a parable. It's talking about the same thing. The 12 hours. Look what he says is going to happen. Watch this. 1 through 5, mother. Matthew 20, 1 through 5. Matthew, remember I told you 30 minutes ago, I had me at 21 through 5, waiting on me? I mean, 20 chapter of Matthew.
You told me 20 chapter of Matthew. Yeah.
21 through 5. Listen to this. Listen,
21 through 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 through 5. The book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like unto a man that is an household which went out early in the morning to the hire labor unto his vineyard. Verse 2. And when he had agreed with the laborers for a penny a day, he sent them into his vineyard. Verse 3. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing out in the marketplace. Verse 4. And said unto them, Go ye also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, I will give you. And they went their way. Verse 5. Again, he went out about the sixth hour and ninth hour and did likewise.
He was going on here. So look what the man's saying. He went out of all the way up to the ninth hour. That same thing he was telling Adam. This thing going to go like the way I got it. He used a parable of these hours. And so now we up to the ninth hour. He said now he seen those that were standing by. He said all you got coming is a penny. This penny is what's called eternal life. That's all you want is your penny. The penny is eternal life, y'all. Everybody wants a penny that Yahweh got to give, and the penny is eternal life. But you got some going to say, well, I've been in office, and so all these men. No. All you got coming is a penny. And that penny is eternal life. So we made it to the ninth. So now he went out at ninth, and that's what he was trying to. The one that's like the ones that are now dragging their feet all over the world, that's the third hour, the sixth hour, the ninth hour. So we're trying to tell you, wake up. So I'm the ninth hour. Now, all of a sudden, what happened next in verse 6 there, young line? Verse number 6. Listen, watch this in verse 6. Come on, young line.
Book of Matthew, chapter 20, verse number 6. Verse 6 reads, and about the 11th hour, he went out and found others standing. I and said unto them, why stand you here all the day? I
so he don't reach, now he got 11 hours. So now 11 hours. Now he asking one the 11 hours. This is 11 hours. We ask him, why you continue to keep on staying in this darkness? You would not put Yahweh first. You study thinking, you're in the darkness. Well, you don't know it. Although you think you're in the marvelous light, you're not. You're in darkness. I'm telling you, Adam, this world is darkness, but it's the 11th hour. Now, the 11th hour came now. Remember, the 12th hour is the beatdown. Now the 11th hour on hit. Now watch what happened in the 11th hour. The 11th hour came. Watch what happened in verse 7.
Verse 7 reads, they say unto him, because no man hath hired us, he says unto them, go you also into the vineyard, and whatsoever is right, that shall you receive.
So he's telling you to go in the vineyard, and you, I mean, for time's sake, is over there in Isaiah 5, verse 7, talking about southern and northern kingdom Israel. It's all about southern and northern kingdom Israel. It's all it's about. Remember, Mother read him 30, verse 4, is about southern and northern kingdom Israel. He said, now, why is you idle? Like, we got people right now, they're idle. They don't know what to do. They're confused. They're idle. So our job is to tell you, stop being idle. Understand it's about Israel, to Israel, for Israel. Like, you see. So now it's 11 hour. He said, why y'all, it's 11 hour. Why is y'all standing there? It's 11 hour now. He's making his last pitch with you. It's 11 hour. He said, now, because you know what hour he going to strike. So now he's making his last warning through the voices of truth, like, hey, it's 11 hour. Why don't you get in where you fit in at? Why don't you understand Yahweh got rules and regulations? This is how it's going to be. You got to get behind the six anointed camps or you're going to lose. Why you don't tell us no never mind, huh? 11 hour on here. Verse 8.
Verse 8 reads, so when even was come, the Yahweh of the vineyard says unto his steward, call the laborers and give them their hire, beginning from the last unto the first.
Did he say? He said, now when noon hit now, remember that when noon hit, he told him, at noon hit, he's going to pay them off. Now, what is he saying? And for time's sake, he's saying the 24th chapter 13 and 14, he that endureth to the end shall be saved. So now you're at the end. He said, now, when noon hit, he was given out the eternal life. When noon hit, you have to be in that sacred place. You have to know where to be at noontime. Because from that point after noon, it's all over. Now, he called him at noon. Get what you got to get to now. Because I need, you know the time I need when I, you all supposed to know the time he needs to do what he got to do. We go, you got to rehearse the other tapes to find out what how much time he need from this point on. Verse 9.
Verse 9. And when they came that were hired about the 11th hour, they received every man a penny.
See, and every man at 11 hour is supposed to receive, and see, you understand something. Much is given, much required. I'm not going to get no more than what you get. See, I can't look at what was given to you to do is for you to do. I'm not going to get no more than what you're getting. Same thing, I'm going to get a penny. You're going to get a penny. That's called eternal life. It's just you use some blessings and say more than others. But we got the same blessing coming. But you got some will say, well, I've been here so long, then I'm supposed to have special privilege. And that same thing the northern kingdom says the southern kingdom. No, it don't work like that. It don't work like that. You got the same thing coming. If you come in now, you got the same thing coming. That the ones have been here 5, 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, 50, 60, 70, 80, 90, 100 years. You got the same thing coming. One penny, eternal life. Adam wake you up. You go into the kingdom. You get no more, no less. Is it some you put more on others? But you got the same blessing coming. But then you will have something gonna pop up. So look at their seniority. Seniority ain't in the Bible. You got to get in and be right at the time appointed. Next verse.
Verse number 9. And when they came.
You read 9 already. Read 9 already. 10.
But when the first came, they suppose that they should have received more, and they likewise receive every man a tenth.
Now, the one that was back in the days, now they said, well, all my time, like, listen, it ain't got to do no time. It ain't got to do no seniority. It ain't got how much time you got in. If you come in, the same thing about the brothers that's on the stake with Yahuwah the Son before they pull the plank off money. They says, you know, to him, he said, today you'll be with me in paradise. Today, this is paradise talking now. He wasn't talking about today, that day, time when Adam bring you there, that paradise. See, got that story wrong, that's another lesson. What's the next verse say? 12.
Verse number 11.
Well, yeah, 11.
And when they had received it, they murmured against the good man of the house.
Is it it? Now they don't talk murmur. Oh, well, you know, I've been in class. I supposed to get special privilege. Me and folks get no more than nobody else got. We all is shooting for the same thing. It's not about seniority here. How many hours you've been in, how many days, how many years, anybody know that. It's about you doing the right thing at a time of point. We all got the same blessing. Adam's going to get up first, bring all the righteous to the kingdom, and you'll see the reward of the wicked. What prepared for you, it's what he got prepared for you. They're going to put a shadow to all this other stuff. When you get your penny, you got eternal life. We're going to stop it at four verses. Read verse 12.
Verse 12 read. Saying, these last have wrought but one hour, and you has made them equal unto us, which have borne the burden and heat of the day.
They said, you will have them kind of spirits around. You will have them kind of spirits. We got to stop it right there on that right there. We get back on it again later. So you see, you're going to have these kind of spirits. Look at their time watch. No, it ain't about your time watch. All we got coming is a penny. Much as you're giving, much as required. He give you more, you do more. You're going to look to your left, look to your right. If you're smarter in this position, he made you smart in that position. Do your part to the best of your ability. Don't look over to your left and to your right. Because all want the penny called it eternal life. Mm-hmm. So what's prepared for us is not, we can't even imagine what's prepared for us. So why don't you go with the Bible and just do what you got to do and Yahuwah will get it all you got before he shut you down. Because he's going to wake up Adam. He's going to come down. We're going to read to we're going to read the 14th chapter 1 through 9 of Nicodemus when this is going to happen. We're going to read all and bring it all to the table. That's why it's so important to understand the 8-day feast is coming up. It's about to talk about all the good stuff and eat your turkey, eat your dressing and your cranberry sauce, drink the wine and rear back and talk about the big time whooping for 8 days. That's why it's so important. It's more to it than just eating the loaves. We're going to enjoy that. But it's the understanding we prepared because we are the children of the light. We're going to stop right there and bring our elder in for his closing statement on tape 26 and bring Mother Z in. Then whatever remaining time we got, we'll just pick it up on Wednesday. See, you can go past 3 hours. Well, we don't want to go past 3 hours because you something else. You cut me out last week. Now, let's bring our elder in and get his closing remarks on tape number 26. Elder Mr. Tibbs, you on the clock, come on. We're going to mute the elder. Go back to Mother. I can mute somebody. Uh-huh. Mother Z. Yahuwah be with you, Mother Z.
Yahuwah bless and keep you, Seer Israel, of royal seed. Hallelujah, Yahuwah.
Hallelujah, Yahuwah. Now, you know, Mother Z, you know, a lot of stuff come out this one book. And we clear up that it ain't about seniority, mother. It's about us doing all we can now to be part of Adam bring us into the light so we can receive the reward of the wicked. Because when 12 o'clock hit, when them 12 hours hit, all it's going to be is destruction everywhere on the planet of darkness and some kind of dark. It will be in the marvelous light forever. See, what's planned for us, Mother Z? It's no way we're supposed to continue to keep confounding ourselves with the things that is of darkness is the world. We're supposed to be hook, line, and sinker is trying to get in order for when Adam get up, he's going to bring the righteous into the kingdom, into the garden. We talk about Wednesday. So we're going to leave our part right there and let you get your part in that Yahuwah gave you, mother. See? And Yahuwah be with you. The flow is yours. Time, come on.
I'm going to read in Jeremiah chapter 50. I'm going to start reading verse 1. The word that the Yahuwah spoke against Babylon and against the land of Canaan by Jeremiah the seer, declare he among the nations and publish and set up a standard publish and conceal not, saying Babylon is taken, Baal is confirmed, Makkadah is broken in pieces, her idols are compiled, her image are broken in pieces. Verse 3, for out of the north there came up a nation against her, which shall make her land desolate, and none shall dwell therein. They shall remove their they shall depart, both men and beasts. Verse 4, in those days and in that time, said the Yahuwah, the children of Israel shall come, they and their children, of Yada Judah together, going and weeping, they shall go and seek the Yahuwah, their Yahuwah. Verse 5, they shall act the way to Yada Judah, which will thou face towards Bitterwood, saying, come and let us journey. Come and let us join ourselves to the Yahuwah in a perpetual covenant that shall not be forgotten. Verse 6, my people have been lost sheep. Their shepherd have caused them to go astray. They have turned them away. None on every mountain. They have gone from mountain to hill. They have forgotten their resting place, their resting place. Verse 7, and then stop at verse 8. All that found them have devoured them, and they and their adversaries say, we offend not, because they have sinned against the Yahweh. They have their
habitation
their habitation of the habitation of justice, even the Yahweh, their hope, the hope of their fathers. Verse 8, remove out of the midst of Babylon and go forth out of the land of the Chaldeans and be as the he go before the flock. Hallelujah.
All right there, Mother Z. Excellent answer. One thing about it, we got the message. You made it plain. And those who heard it, they got it plain. No doubt about it. Now, see, Mother E. Now, we will look at a statement in the book of Issachar's boy Job and 10:21. See what we see all around us. We see 12 hours of light, 12 hours of darkness, all that old stuff right there. But Issachar boy is going to tell you something, what you really need to know in 10:21. Let's read a little bit in 10:21 there, Mother. And after that, we'll read down there. After we get through with it, we'll get a closing statement out to you. And
we're going to chapter 10, verse 21.
21. Let's read a little bit till we get our point. See, Issachar boy is going to tell us something to keep in mind. And Brother Micaiah held me the 18th chapter of Wisdom of Solomon, verse 7 and 15 down to verse 20. Had it in it. Be patting that on the side for old fear. So now, Mother, let's talk about this Job 10:21 a little bit. What we got?
The book of Job, chapter 10, verse 21. Before I go, when I shall not return even to the land of darkness and the shadow of death.
Wait a minute, Mother. Hold on, Mother. What is it? What Job say? He said, I'm not going to return. No. What did he call his place again, Mother? What did he call his place?
The land of darkness.
And
the shadow of death.
Ain't that something? You hear what the man saying, Mother? He's saying what you in right now. Well, you just trying to hold on to it. Adam didn't want to hold on to this thing. This thing right here is the land of darkness, and all it's going to be to you is a shadow of death. And you put all your marvels, all your giddy up into the land of darkness, the shadow of death. And that will be trying to tell you. You cut Yahweh short. And you put more investment into the land of darkness, which is the shadow of death. 22 in the closing statement now, Mother. Give me 22.
Verse 22. And the land of darkness, as darkness itself, and of the shadow of death, without any order, and where the light is, and where the light
you have
darkness.
You see that? And it ain't no order, Mother. You know why it ain't no order? We're going to do December 25th as a card-giving present received, Christmas trees, that ain't got nothing to do with December 25th. That's why we in a shadow of darkness and death. December 25th ain't got nothing to do with nobody writing no present cards and sending cards and bringing gifts. The dedication got nothing to do with it. That's why we're in darkness. This is a death sentence to us if we continue. December 25th is the whooping of Esau and getting you back to remind you of big whooping world like the shadow was put on Esau on December 25th. The reason you eating this turkey dressing and cranberry sauce to remind you and drinking the wine on what's going to happen on a large scale. When it's 12-hour hit, you want to be heading to the garden that's on earth watching the reward of the wicked. Because all they're going to need is a such time. You already know how much time he needs to take care of his business. Then he going to join in with all of us over there skinning and grinning and eating. You know how much time he needs and other lessons. But leave it like that, Mother. So, Mother, we don't talk to pretty good a show of tape 26. So what is your closing conclusion on tape 26? Take your time, Mother. You on the clock. Come out.
Okay. Thank you, praising Yahweh for this class. Thank you, praising Yahweh for the teachers. Thank you, praising Yahweh for the listeners. And thank you, praising Yahweh that I'm able to be in the class. Just thank you, praising Yahweh for each and every one that's in the class. Hallelujah.
Excellent, Mother. And hold on. Mother saying, hold on. That's all Mother can tell you. She tell you. She rehearsing the righteous act. Tell y'all, hold on. Get back up under the one that got the true word and know its true meaning of these. So if you patronize in anything or reunion based upon card giving, giving hands, you're out of order. This is a celebration for the children of Israel, children of book to eat turkey, dressing, and cranberry sauce and drink wine and talk about the whooping that's put on Esau and his five sons translated the white man and the white woman. Moab and Amma, Chinese and Japanese, for joining in with them. That's what December 20th. That's the true meaning of December 25th. That's the true meaning. Excellent, Mother. Y'all lying. What can we read out of Wisdom of Solomon? See, we got to get our prayer right. The mothers keep telling you, get your prayer right. Your prayer got to be right. 18 verse 7, let's talk about it. Skip down to verse 15 to 20. Come on.
Okay. You're going to Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 18, verse number 7, and we're skipping down to 15, down to 20. Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 18, verse number 7, reads, so of your people was accepted both the salvation of the righteous and the destruction of the enemy. Verse 15, your almighty Yahuwah word leaped down from heaven out of your royal throne as a fierce man of war into the midst of a land of destruction. Verse 16. And bought your...
Hey, hold on, young man. Wait a minute. You hear what the man saying? Look what the man saying. He said, get the prayer right because this man going to come out of heaven. And look what he said going to happen in verse 15. Listen good. So how you going to be on verse 15. Take your time in your line. You got something going on in verse 15. Come on.
Okay. Wisdom of Solomon chapter 18, verse 15 reads, your almighty Yahuwah word leaped down from heaven out of your royal throne as a fierce man of war into the midst of a land of destruction.
Ain't that something? You know what that man is saying? This man come from the third heaven. He coming down to a place that is a land of destruction. See, right? trying to get ahead in the land of destruction. Darkness to you, you got all your, you try to put all these plans, but they got all them, these plans, retirements, we going to do this, we going to, listen, don't you understand you got to be rich in Yahweh? You can't serve two masters. Get what you can and write the name in Yahweh. Because this land is the land of what, according to verse 15?
Land of destruction.
Oh, I'm just so tired. I'm just, listen, you're in a land of destruction. It's not what you, be tied in Yahweh's business. Not the land of destruction. Give me verse 16.
Verse 16, read. And balk your unfringed commandments as a sharp sword, and standing up filled all things with death. And it touched the heaven, but it stood upon the earth.
Wait a minute. All things are what? What did you read there, young lad? What are you trying to tell the people in verse 16? In this land is what in verse 16? Give me a key word in verse 16 there, young lad. But read it again, young lad. Go ahead. Read it again.
Okay. The book of Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 18, verse 16. 16, read. And bought your unfinished commandments as a sharp sword, and standing up filled all things with death, and it touched the heaven, but it stood upon the earth.
Your sword have touched all things, and all is full of is death. Death. And you know who that sword is, and take care of the next lesson. You know who his sword is. And his father told him who the sword, what you're going to be. The sword, man, all he going to bring on you is death. He will have you try to get a birthday card or get you a Merry Christmas card. All that is death to you. This is not December 25th, what we talked about. It's the destruction of what happened in verse 3, the prison of Esau. 1 Maccabees 5:3, it was a whooping on December 25th, 146 A.D. It was a celebration of a whooping that was put on Esau December 25th. That is the origin of December 25th. Is we going to celebrate it? Yes, we are. We're going to celebrate of the whooping of Esau and his five sons with turkey, dressing, cranberry sauce, and a lot of wine. Huh? And some music. They're going to be celebrating it. Not what you're going to be celebrating. Verse 17.
Verse 17 reads, then suddenly visions of horrible dreams troubled them sore, and terrors came upon them unlooked for.
You see that? He said, terror going to come, and guess who? And let's read who is this terror we close out. What terror came upon him? Is that terror came from heaven? he said that terror came from heaven. Now let's get the precept of who was that terror that came from heaven, and we'll close out. We'll call the day there, young lion. We'll have enough of this. But the same token, the terror going to come from heaven. See, and you're going to find out all the stuff you've been doing, you've been wasting your time, and terror going to come from heaven, and who the terror is, 18, 14, make it 11 and 14 in closing statement. Issachar boy, chapter 18, verse 11 and 14. Is that terror going to come from heaven on you in this dark world trying to get your little things together and ignoring and paying the seal, no, never mind, on what restored on you to come. 18th chapter, verse 11 and 14, the closing statement, young line is all yours, and you take it from there, I'm through with it. Come on.
The book of Job, chapter 18, verse 11 and verse number 14. Verse 11 reads, terror shall make him afraid on every side, and shall drive him to his feet. verse 14. His confidence shall be rooted out of his tabernacle, and it shall bring him to the king of terror.
The king of terror gonna come and take care of his business. And you know who he is. Another lesson. We'll stop right there. See, no, I'm through with it. Your line, close it out. I'm through with it. You hear me no more till Wednesday. The mothers, all the mothers, the elders, Yahweh be with y'all. Young Lion going to take us home on tape 26. I'm through with it. I'm gone. Come on, Young Lion.
All right. Thank you, Yahweh, for another blessed day. Ready to read his word. Thank you, Yahweh, for the opportunity to meet the seer Israel of Seed Roy and to learn the word of Yahweh on spiritual Seed Roy. Thank you, Yahweh, for my wife, my children that have given me to teach the Torah instructions. Thank you, Yahweh, for the elders and the mothers and the teachers and the six anointed camps. Thank you, Yahweh, for all the brothers and sisters. Thank you, Yahweh, for the whole family, the children of Israel, to turn back to him. Under the tribe of Yahdah Judah. Under the six anointed camps, forces of the two Israelites. I want to read the book of John. We get down into the book of John chapter 10. And I want to read